We got a really interesting tidbit on De'Aaron Fox and his contract today. It's really nothing's wrong. Nothing for Kings fans to be alarmed about, but it's really interesting. We'll take a look at that in just a moment. Before we do, Kyle, do we want to – I have one more thing to kind of wrap up.
Yeah, what you got?
Barnes. Do you have one?
I could do this all day, man.
I would just say a lot of people – I know in the summer when people were looking at, okay, maybe they should bring in somebody else to play forward, and a lot of people were in on Kyle Kuzma. And Kyle Kuzma scores a lot of points. I was never, ever, ever in on him. Maybe I was wrong, but I'm fine they didn't get him. I'll just say this. Kyle Kuzma is taking 19 shots a game, which bless him.
Okay.
Do you think if the Kings brought Kyle Kuzma in here and he had a game like Harrison Barnes did a couple nights ago where he took three shots, you think Kyle Kuzma would be, all right, I'm cool with that? No.
Heck no.
No.
Heck no.
Harrison Barnes does a lot of the dirty work that – we as fans don't always see.
Yeah.
And he does it uncomplainingly. And can they upgrade there? Maybe they can. Maybe they will at the deadline. Maybe. But he's not like an anchor that's weighing this team down. That's a misconception. Yeah. Like I said, to me, he's kind of like the Jimmy Garoppolo of the Kings. People are always going to blame him when things are going on.
Yeah, and here's my last point on this. You know, Harrison Barnes does a lot for this team. He may not be the best scorer, but he's one of the best defenders on this team. He's kind of playing out of position, too, because he's 6'8".
Yeah, that's a great point.
He's playing the power forward spot. And so my thing with Harrison
Barnes... When's the last time he complained about that?
Exactly. My thing is, yes, they can upgrade over Harrison Barnes. Of course, we all know that. But don't bring that narrative after a loss. But then also... not praise him when he drops 33 at Utah, when he drops 22, when he drops 18, when he drops 16. You know, it just seems like we lose. Oh, who can I blame? Harrison Barnes. You know, come on. You know, that's the thing that's upsetting to me. Of course they can upgrade at the position. We all know that. We also know that Monty McNair has a plan, and it's probably the slow grind because they didn't go out there and make no big free agent splash or anything like that. And so I just don't get the year in and year out venom towards Harrison Barnes. And people say, well, they signed him to that contract, Drapes. He should be producing more. Well, we went through the list yesterday of players who, you know, are producing pretty much right around the same as Harrison. Some guys are producing much more than Harrison. Some guys are producing lower than Harrison. It's just tiring, man. And the reason why I am, you know, going so hard for HB is because he didn't ask for any of this. He has been a model citizen. We talk about guys wanting to be here in Sacramento. You talk about Fox. How come we can't say Harrison Barnes the same way? This is a guy with a championship ring, has played on a finals contender. And we haven't heard one peep out of it. And let me tell you one last thing about Harrison Barnes. When the Sacramento Kings were losing and they were struggling, he would be the first guy meeting with the media, addressing the issues, answering the questions. He would be the face of the franchise. And for some fans now to be turncoats and turn their back on HB, it's upsetting to me. And that's why I get so fired up about this.
Harrison Barnes, it's unfair, but he's always been a guy going back to when he came out of college. He's always been a guy that fans have expected a little more from than what he may be. And that's kind of always going to be his situation. But right now, I think he's in a situation where he cannot win. If he has a poor game or a game where he doesn't put up numbers, people will point to that and go, ah, see, he's no good. When he has a big game like he did in the opener against Utah, those same fans go, well, where is that every night? So,
right.
Yeah.
It has to do with the way, when it comes to that.
Yeah. Expectations and the way people see him. And sometimes it's easy for us to just, well, that guy's the problem. And it's just not the case. He's not the problem with the Kings, primarily because he is one of their better defenders, and that's still their biggest problem.
Right, and he was not the reason that they lost to the Pelicans. There's several reasons. Herb Jones going for 23, that's a problem. Somebody has to do something about that defense.
Pelicans have a better team than the Kings. That's why the Kings lost. That's the problem. Pelicans have a better team.
Are they a better team?
I think so. They certainly were. Yeah, they have more talent.
That's tough.
They're longer, bigger.
I hear you. I understand it. You look at the roster. I get it.
Right now, that's
hard for me to swallow.
Uh-huh.
That's hard. Because then, if the Pelicans are a better team, then maybe we need to rethink our expectations for this Kings team. If we want to have that conversation, I'm not buying that just yet, but, you know, I hear what you're saying.
De'Aaron Fox heard what the Kings had to say during the offseason. And again, there's nothing untoward here. There's no animosity. But De'Aaron Fox, according to Chris Haynes, he was offered a two-year, $105 million deal before the start of the season. The two-year offer is the maximum the Kings are currently allowed to offer. De'Aaron Fox decided to turn down the extension in hopes of making an all-NBA team again this season, which would make him eligible to sign a four-year supermax worth approximately $245 million. Both sides, again, there are no issues here. Both sides are interested in a long-term deal, but this is really interesting. Kings come to De'Aaron, and he's betting on himself, himself to win another all-NBA honor, and then he would be entitled to significantly more money.
And rightfully so. De'Aaron Fox is just now entering the prime of his career. And so he's making a business decision. We fully expect De'Aaron Fox once again to be an all-star, once again to be an all-NBA player, this Kings team once again to make it to the NBA playoffs. And so it's a smart business move, I think, for De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. Here's some other players eligible for a supermax or could be eligible for the supermax. You got Shea. You got Siakam, Jaren Jackson, Jamal Murray, Luka, Tatum, Giannis. And then here's an interesting thing about De'Aaron Fox. If he makes all-league again, he could sign a four-year, $245 million deal, okay? But just this is fascinating. If he makes it 2 years in a row,
yes,
he could sign a five-year supermax in the summer of 2025.
Woo.
Yeah.
And that five-year supermax is, what, $300 million or something like that? Something.
Yeah, the four-year would be $245.
Right, yeah. I think that it's what Jaylen Brown signed for this past offseason. Jason Tatum signed for as well. It makes a perfect business sense. And what we're seeing from De'Aaron Fox is we know how great he is on the court. He's making some shrewd moves off, you know, the Curry brand deal, you know, going with Clutch Sports. And now, you know what, turning down 2 years, $105 million, because he sees if he stays healthy, he's going to get that supermax.
Yeah. So, interesting situation again. Bottom line for Kings fans is that both sides are keenly interested in a long-term deal. So how about that? De'Aaron Fox, if he can make all-league again this year, cha-ching! Well, even if he doesn't, right? Even if he doesn't, he's in line for a massive contract.
Yeah, and well-deserved, and rightfully so. I mean, he has helped lead this team. He's been the leader of this team, getting it back into the playoffs, and he's our own. He's our homegrown guy, too, and fans love him, and he's been tremendous.
All right, Chris Haynes, I mentioned he had the report. He's going to join us, take a real quick break. We're back with Chris Haynes. Eddie Johnson, former King, voice of the Suns, he's going to be with us, too, this hour as we roll on here to Drive Guys. Got a big hour ahead. Stay with us, Sactown Sports.
Malik Monk.
To Drive Guys, Chris Haynes from Bleach Report TNT going to join us just a moment here. Eddie Johnson as well. Former Sacramento King, one of the original Sacramento Kings, broadcaster for the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Kings are getting ready to take on the Suns on Friday. And I don't know, being an NBA employee, how much he'll want to share with us about how he feels about last night. But I'm guessing Eddie wasn't thrilled with that call last night that went against the Suns.
And rightfully so. I mean, that was, you know, not only that, just somebody officiating down there. And they did come out with the two-minute report,
too.
They did come out with the two-minute report. And let me scroll down there. Stoppage timeout. LeBron James. Correct call. L.A. is granted a timeout when Reeves recovers the ball and pins it against his leg before he loses it again. So the day after, even the day after, they say it was the correct call.
They said he called for timeout after Reeves regained control and pinned it to his leg?
Yeah, recovers the ball and pins it against his leg, yes.
All right. That's not exactly the way I saw it. I don't know about you.
Not at all.
That's
not at all, man.
That's a bold two-minute report right there.
But, you know, they had to break it down frame by frame, obviously. And I thought we saw that last night on the replay. But what surprised me is even after the game, the pool report where they interviewed the official, he said the same exact thing that we see now in the two-minute report.
So Chris Haynes is going to join us in just a moment here. And wasn't he also part of the TNT crew that broadcast the tournament game against the Pelicans on Monday.
Yes, he was in the building, so I want to get his take on, you know, what he saw that night. And, you know, are the Pelicans right now a better team than the Kings? We can have that discussion with Chris Haynes. And I also
I don't mean to rock your boat a little bit when I suggested that.
It just threw me for a loop there, because now if we're saying the Pelicans are better than the Kings, now we're going to have to revamp where we think they are. I mm-hmm. don't believe that. I believe when they're both playing at their best, it's just a tough matchup. They beat us three times. I get that. But I think the Kings, when it's all said and done, will be have a better record.
Nice enough to join us from TNT, from Bleach Report, Chris Haynes. Chris, thanks so much for your time. We've got a little debate going here after what happened Monday in Sacramento. I know you were there. I mean, are the Pelicans right now, are they a better team than the Sacramento Kings?
Ooh, well, tough question. I wouldn't go as far as say they're a better team right now, but definitely when you look at their roster, from top to bottom, they're starting to get healthy. You know, they're probably one of the more deeper teams we have in this league. But I can't give them that title right now. Do they have a potential to be? Yes, most definitely. But, you know, the thing with them has been health, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. And it starts with Zion Williamson. And, you know, they got Trey Murphy back. They got C.J. McCollum back. Zion is in there. And so, you know, we'll see where they go from here. But as of right now, I would still lean towards Sacramento.
Chris Haynes joining us. Was on the broadcast the other night, TNT. Chris, here we are 19 games into the season for Sacramento. They have a better record this year, but the angst around the franchise and around the fan base seems to be much different. It seems, you know, the expectations obviously have been raised. Where do you think the Kings fit in the Western Conference right now?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there. It's definitely because of expectations based off what they did last year. And, you know, we're thinking they could potentially take that next step this season. But, you know, in the scheme of things, like, they're a dangerous team. You know, I know for a fact that they're one of the teams in the Western Conference that, you know, if they make the postseason, you know, you don't want to face them. You know, they're young. They're not afraid of anybody. They can play fast. They can go, you know, into the half-court game and have Sabonis pick you apart. So there's a multitude of weapons that they can go by and try to beat you in different ways. And so, but there is that thing that's, you know, expectation that is real, that is serious. And so when you're not sneaking up on anybody anymore, things tend to change. And, you know, their record, what are they, 6 in the standings right now?
Yeah, I believe they are. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that's solid. This is the
5th, actually. Fifth, actually. Okay. Yep.
5th. I mean, it's the Western Conference. And, you know, they're 5th. And so that's nothing to sneeze about. But definitely, I mean, I think you have to relish taking baby steps. Are they a championship contending team right now? That would be tough for me to give them that title right now. But I think, you know, when you're looking at progression, I think they're doing that, and I think they're doing it well. You're looking at De'Aaron Fox taking a step forward, not just on the court, but leadership. I was talking with people they're talking about. He's leading huddles, and I've heard, you know, being a sideline reporter this season, I've heard him be a little bit more vocal in timeout huddles and directing guys and encouraging guys. And so, you know, you're seeing that Malik Monk is playing tremendous off the bench. And you know, look, it's about progression. You don't want to be stagnant, and I wouldn't call the Kings stagnant by any stretch.
Chris Haynes with us from Bleach Report and TNT. Speaking of De'Aaron Fox, Chris, you, of course, reporting that the Kings offered De'Aaron Fox 2 years, $105 million extension before the start of the season, and he declined the offer. What does that mean for De'Aaron Fox and for the Kings going forward?
Yeah, they want to work something out where it's going to be a long-term pact. De'Aaron Fox wants to be here in Sacramento, and the Kings want their cornerstone player in return. But financially, from a financial standpoint, it made sense for De'Aaron to decline. If he could make all NBA team along with Defensive Player of the Year or even MVP, he would be in line for the Supermax deal next summer. And if that were to happen, the earliest he could sign that deal would be July 8th of 2024. And as of right now, that would look somewhere around 4 years, $255 million, somewhere along those lines. And so the Kings understood, like, they knew, you know, they knew what De'Aaron and his camp would do. But that's just a deal you got to make to De'Aaron. You know, it's similar, pretty similar to Giannis. Giannis, at first, you know, he was telling everybody that he was going to wait until next summer to sign a long-term deal. Then he ended up taking, I can't remember, but it, you know, people kind of were stunned that he took the deal. I think it was a 2 or 3 year extension he signed last month, or right before the season started. And so, you know, you as a team, that's what you do. You do your due diligence. But, you know, De'Aaron, along with his agent, Rich Paul, CEO of Clutch Sports, you know, they're all in the same wavelength with the Sacramento Kings. So there's no drama to unfold. But I knew that was something that was never reported about that extension being offered.
Good stuff right there from Chris Haynes. Chris, still a couple of months away from the trade deadline, and Kings fans, obviously, they're looking at ways they can improve the roster, upgrade some of the names. We're hearing OG Ananobi, Pascal Siakam, even a Zach LaVine out there, maybe a Caruso. What are you hearing on the trade front around the league about some of those names I just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, those names have been linked to Sacramento for a while. OG Ananobi, Zach LaVine for sure has started up this season. I know he wouldn't mind if he was shipped on the West Coast. So you know, those are definitely things to be in play. But I haven't heard anything concrete as far as anything being serious at this nature as far as right now. I think as we progress along next couple of months, Chicago is really going to start pressing. Chicago feels like they're in the driver's seat right now. They don't have to do anything urgent right now. They kind of know that they aren't going anywhere, and so with that in mind, you know, they feel like they can, you know, hold on and continue forward with that trade deadline, you know, being a few months away. So I think things will definitely heat up. But yeah, I mean, when you look at Sacramento as far as how can they take that next step, you're probably looking at a wing player, and so those guys definitely fit that caliber.
Chris Haynes, what do you think of how the tournament's gone? How has it gone compared to what you expected?
You know, I'm somebody, you know, you can ask my wife. I'm somebody that's not, you know, I don't embrace change. I like to keep my routines. And so, you know, when this idea was brought forth publicly, I wasn't for it. But I will say this, you know, I text Adam Silver, what was that? It was the day of the Kings-Pelicans game. And I told him, I said, man, I got to give it to you because I haven't been excited to cover a slate of games in November and December in, like, probably ever. You know what I mean? It's just like I can't recall ever feeling that way before. And, you know, that just hasn't been the case. And, you know, the knock on the NBA for a while has been – the NBA doesn't get serious till after the All-Star break. And so I think this in-season tournament has definitely helped change that narrative, and it definitely got players involved. And we haven't had really any load management type situations during this in-season tournament. So I like it. And then, you know, I'm off to Vegas tomorrow, so I'll be there for the Final Four. But I like it. The court designs, you know, I could take it or leave it. You know, I don't know. Like, some of the coaches, you know, I talked to, you know, a handful of coaches around, you know, a dozen coaches throughout the league about, you know, some adjustments they will make to the in-season tournament. And some are cool with the point differential system. Others would like it to be like you have to win, like quarters matter. Winning quarters matter,
right?
And that would be the deciding factor. That way you don't have those kind of leaving your star players in the last minutes or seconds when the game is already out of reach. They feel like that would be a better way of respecting the unspoken rules of the game. But, you know, there's a couple things. I personally, for the in-season tournament, I personally would like for the NBA to just, once the in-season tournament starts, let's just stay on that for 2 weeks until its conclusion.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You know, as part of the broadcast, we're you know, TNT broadcasting out ESPN for sure as well. We got to keep, you know, keeping the fans abreast of, okay, what the records are in the in-season tournament, even though they haven't played an in-season game in like four games, you know? So you constantly have to remind people where the records stand. But if you just keep it on the in-season tournament for 2 weeks, okay, now everybody is in, everybody is involved. And so I would like to see that implemented next season.
Chris Haynes, TNT Bleacher Report. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your time, especially on short notice. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be watching, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right. Our guy, Chris Haynes.
Yeah.
Local guy. Lives out in Elk Grove. People didn't know. Yeah.
Nice. Why are they having the games at such, well, the first game especially, at such a goofy time?
Weird times, right? 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 Eastern. I just, you know, I know it's back-to-back, 2 games in the same building.
That's the only thing I could think of is they're going to have separate admissions. So right, they separate clear admissions.
And let me think here. So, but the second game is at what, 7? No, earlier than that, 6 our time? I can't remember. I don't know if it's because separate admissions, like you said, or maybe give players time to warm up. You know, guys have their warm up 2 hours before the game instead of, like, you know, in college you get half hour or whatever.
That's, right. That's part of a tournament. It's like, all right, the game's over. Let's go.
Let's go, right? Let's start the next one, right? Yeah, it's weird, man. 2 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be watching basketball.
Yeah, I agree with Chris about one way to improve the tournament. I think you mentioned this.
Yeah.
When you have the period where this is an in-season tournament game, but your next game's not, and then you have another one.
Right,
It just it unnecessarily confuses it a little bit.
It really does, and, you know, from a player's standpoint, you're emotional, you get high and you get low. It's just sort of like a roller coaster thing. And also, you're telling fans, this game means more, but tomorrow's game doesn't mean as much. It's kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, well, so since they're out, the Kings will play the Phoenix Suns on Friday. When we come back, Kings broadcaster and original Sacramento Kings, the great Eddie Johnson joins us. Drive, guys. Doing okay now, Drapes? I know earlier we had some conversation about Harrison Barnes. And,
yeah, I'm calming down now, man. All right. My guy Chris Haynes came on, so I'm feeling good. I'm A-okay. Hopefully we can table this Harrison Barnes discussion. If people want to still talk about it, sure, go for it. You can call in 916-339-1140, but I'm calm, cool, and collected now.
Yeah, there's a good chance, not today, maybe, but there's a good chance that at some point, you know, it'll circle back to that. As you know, it just seems to be something that Kings fans like to talk about now and then.
Yeah, and it's been that way ever since he got here, too, pretty much. You know, it's been a thing, and here we are, yearly discussion on Harrison Barnes. It's what we do here.
Yeah. So is Eddie going to be joining us here? All right. We're going to talk to former Sacramento King Eddie Johnson in just a moment with the Kings yet ready now to play the Phoenix Suns, a team that kind of took it on the chin last night. But the Suns have been playing pretty good basketball, as you well know.
They have, and Kevin Durant is on a tear right now. They haven't been healthy all season long, and KD's been the one constant. And, you know, his numbers, once again, he, you know, went head-to-head with LeBron James, almost, maybe even should have won that game based on that non-call, which the officials now say was a correct call. That LeBron timeout came correctly. It was called correctly. They're saying Austin Reeves had the ball pinned against his leg.
Sure.
I wonder if Eddie Johnson has sort of calmed down after last night.
Yeah, a fierce competitor to this day. Bradley Beal is supposed to be, I don't know, back within the next 10 days, I think. At this point, I'm sure the Suns feel like, whatever. I wonder if they regret
whatever.
That. Well, do they regret that move, I wonder?
And they gave up a lot, obviously.
They're playing good without
part of that. Yeah. They are playing good. And, you know, when you look at the standings, the fact that they're 12-9, you know, I'm looking at the Western Conference standings from the 2 spot to the 9 spot, the 10 spot is only separated by 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
2 spot to the 12 spot only separated, or 11 spot, by 4.5 games.
A lot like last year, huh? Maybe even more so.
And so a good week can put you right back in it, and a bad week can drop you down. So.
Yeah, and there's one thing about the nature of this season for the Kings. Yeah, we don't have the in-season tournament now, but every game really is truly a very significant game.
Yes, every game is, and, you know, obviously the in-season tournament has helped that, but when you have a loaded Western Conference where, when you look at 15 teams, 12 of them, 11, legitimately have a shot at the playoffs or play in. Like, there's going to be a big name team left out, whether it's Dallas, whether it's, you know, Clippers. I don't think they'll, but, you know, somebody with some stars is going to be left out of the playoff picture.
How impressed are you with the Lakers so far this year?
Some people say
their record's better than they really have played.
They're 13-9. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And they haven't really been whole all season long. You know, some of their acquisitions, Rui Hachimura has been out some time. You know, you got, I'm forgetting the guy's name. But he's been out. Like, some of their new acquisitions we haven't really seen all together. And to me, the Lakers.
Gabe Vincent? Is that who
you're talking about? Yeah, Gabe Vincent. Yep, our guy. I forgot about him too. You know, and I think the Lakers are one of those teams that are going to be primed for the postseason, built for the playoffs, especially with their age, with LeBron and AD. They're going to have some games they lose. They're going to struggle a little bit. But I wouldn't want to see them in the playoffs. I don't care who you are. Maybe except Denver, but you could argue the Lakers could be the second-best team in the Western Conference.
I understand that. I sure would have liked to have seen them
in the
in-season tournament coming up.
Oh, in-season, yeah.
So we got Tyrese Halliburton and Pacers taking on Milwaukee on the eastern side, and we got the Pelicans against the Lakers. Those are your final four in the in-season tournament. You know, the NBA is hoping we end up with Giannis against LeBron.
Yeah, that's the marquee matchup. That's two of the game's biggest stars. But, you know, when you look at, and I know the Pacers aren't a premier franchise in terms of box office draw, but Tyrese Halliburton's changing that a little bit. They're becoming, you know, last year it was the Sacramento Kings, the league pass must-see. I could argue it's the Pacers this year. Pacers or Orlando, those two franchises, those are ones where they play exciting ball, they're young, they're energetic, they get up and down. They're sort of the Sacramento of this year, I think, those two teams.
Do you think they miss Sabonis there with the Pacers? You know, for all the talk of, gee, the Kings, they should have kept Halliburton. I'm sure Indiana didn't know that Sabonis was capable of playing the way he played last year.
Yeah.
I know he was an all-star before. I know that.
Right. But I think they like what they have.
Yeah.
Remember, you don't get Tyrese if you don't have you give up Sabonis. And they've sort of had a reclamation product with some of the players on their team. You look at a guy like Obi Toppin, for instance. Remember Obi Toppin coming out of college? He was this high flyer, was only known as
literally
a dunker.
A Dayton high flyer.
A Dayton high flyer, exactly. But he's been playing extremely well for them this season. I'm pulling up the numbers right here. Obi Toppin, 13 points, averaging, you know, let me see, close to four rebounds. He's added an energy. Aaron Nesmith, a former Boston Celtic. I mean, they got they got eight guys averaging in double figures.
I have no idea if this guy's available, but you mentioned Obi Toppin. Today I did a podcast with Jerry. Jerry Reynolds is going to be in for you tomorrow.
Yep.
And I was asking him just, hey, what about Siakam or maybe Anunoby? You don't know if you're the Kings, if you have him next year. He said, I wouldn't do that. It's too risky. He said, but how about a guy like Obi Toppin? That's who we mentioned. Now, again, I have no idea whether he would be available, but I see Jerry's point. If you're the Kings, you might have to try to get a guy who you pretty sure has a higher ceiling. You know, you got to find a guy who's undervalued, a guy who everyone knows how good he is. It's probably going to be too expensive.
You buy low, right? There exactly. You go. I think if you're Monty, especially what Chris Haynes just talked about, you're going to have to pay De'Aaron Fox a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like, are we, you paid DeMontis Sabonis a bunch. Can we really have three max guys or three guys close
to
max?
Tough.
That's going to be
tough. The
NBA's
making it tougher and tougher than ever to do that, too.
Exactly. So that's why you got to buy low on some of these guys. And an Obi Toppin, you talk about a rim runner, a guy that can, he would be exciting in Sacramento.
Yeah. How are we going to make the in-season tournament better next year, Kyle?
I'm siding with Chris Haynes, and I said this, it needs to be 2 weeks straight, 2.5 weeks. Only games you're playing are in-season tournament games. You can complete the group play in a week and a half. Then the second week, you know, because I'm saying 2.5, you can then do the elimination round. And so I just think, and somebody raised this, I think, on the text line or the YouTube, like, the Lakers wrapped up their four games before the Kings had even played their second or third. Like, it's just, and you don't know, is this an in-season tournament game? How come these teams are playing this night? And I would like to see 2 to 3 weeks straight of just in-season tournament games.
I think the group stage has to be longer. I know that this year was all new. Who knows how it's going to work? But I think it needs to be a little more substantial, a little more meaningful when you get out of your group, rather than just play four games. And I think the NBA got lucky this year that it didn't come down to some cockamamie tiebreaker, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and the Kings clearly won their group. They won all their games.
You think four divisions maybe or something like that? Or
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it's divisions or the groups, whatever. Right. Yeah, probably. I mean, divisions would make a lot of sense. But
because it was six now.
I don't know if you can do that with the math.
Right, yeah. And when you say play more games, is it facing
a couple times, round robin? How about home and home?
Home and home. Yeah. Okay, so maybe an eight gamer or something like that is part of the. Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah. I could see that.
On the other hand, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? It worked out when we had no idea how it would go, and so far, so good.
Yeah.
People loved it, and the players seemed to like it.
Yeah, the players seemed to like it, and 500,000 on the line. I actually didn't know that the Kings got 50,000 each. Making it out of group stage,
right,
is what I heard. That
and
was
the broadcasters
reported.
Get like seven, yeah, or eight.
Yeah, like $5. You know, like that's about serious. I don't know who to talk to. Adam Silver, Vivek, somebody, but this the broadcasters got a share in this money also. But yeah, so the Kings got 50,000. If you advance to Vegas, the minimum you get is 100,000, and so you know, and I think the next is 250 for the runner up. 500 for the champion.
Yeah. And if it does come down to the Lakers, Bucks, or even the Lakers, if the Lakers get in, the Bucks get in, you get one of your biggest stars in the finals. In a way, it legitimizes the whole thing. So I know the NBA has got their fingers crossed that they end up with one of those guys in the finals, LeBron, Giannis, maybe both of them, and Dame too. That would, and I'm going to watch no matter what, right? I'm hooked.
Right,
I admit,
right.
You got me, NBA.
And I look at the matchups. And even though the Pelicans aren't a big market team, the Pacers aren't a big market team, they have players that are exciting to watch. Remember, Zion was one of the faces, young faces of this league. He was one of the guys must-see TV. And so I'm going to be watching. And I love watching Tyrese Halliburton play. And so they may not be the biggest of names, biggest of markets, but those are exciting guys to watch play.
And the Pelicans played here Monday like this thing means a lot to them.
Yes. And that's going to be an interesting matchup, too, because when you look at LeBron and Zion, I would imagine LeBron might have to check Zion. You're talking about, you know, two Mack trucks set to go at it, two linebackers. And so, you know, we had talked on Monday, how do you defend Zion? We really don't have anybody with the same size. Well, the Lakers do in a guy like LeBron James.
When we come right back, we're still endeavoring to get the great Andy Johnson on. Also, we got an update, Kyle, on the future of the Eagles tush-push.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to hear this.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath on that thing coming back next year. That's next when we come back on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, I don't know if you can see my sweatshirt today. Speaking of the Kings, this is the Okinawa. It's the Ryukyu Golden Kings Okinawa basketball, the Okinawa Kings. So brought that back from Okinawa. Yeah, the team there is called the Kings. I don't know if they have a beam. I was going to go to a game and then start a light the beam chant and see what happened, but they were on the road. They were playing the Miramichi Seahorses or something. I don't know, and we couldn't go see that game. But I was hoping to get the beam started in Okinawa, Kyle, but they're on the road. Yeah, but they're a very nice team store where I got this sweatshirt.
That would have been a great video, too. If it actually happened, like you light the beam chance, you would have captured that. That thing would have went viral. Oh, man.
Yeah, they got a new arena there because, you know, they just had the World Cup in Asia, and they had, you know, I think the Philippines is where the finals were. So they have in Okinawa, they had some of the games there, and they had a new arena. So basketball taken up. The only NBA thing I saw though in Japan was the day the Kings were playing the Warriors were in some mall somewhere, and there was a Steph Curry jersey and like a LeBron jersey. And that was about it.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. And then there was a store in Okinawa where they had in the window. They had a Michael Jordan jersey hanging, and it was a Wizards jersey. And I was like, what?
Really?
What? Yeah. Why do you have that? I guess it was a collector's item. Anyway, let's see, Drive Guys here on Sacktown Sports. I wanted to clarify something we talked about a couple days ago on the brotherly shove. You prefer that to the
Yes, I like that, brotherly shove. Yes.
Okay. We know that this weekend a story came out that Roger Goodell was against it. Now, Roger Goodell wasn't quoted directly. This was a report that, according to a source, he's dead set against this thing. So we don't know that for certain. What we do know is that the competition committee is currently reviewing the quarterback push play. The league has been monitoring the play, per the source. Numerous clubs have asked about it. The conversation will continue into the offseason. The source also says the commissioner, Roger Goodell, has expressed no opinion on the play. So that's officially no opinion.
No opinion.
But reports are that he doesn't care for it. He technically doesn't have a vote. Roughly 18 teams have used some form of the play. Only the Eagles have perfected it. So we'll see how they vote. My guess is that teams are going to look at that and it's like, well, the Eagles are the only team that does it, and we can't stop it, so we vote no. I bet they're probably going to get rid of it.
Yeah, which is disappointing to me, obviously, because I'm a Philly fan, yes. But what is it about the play that has so many people up in arms, so many people upset? Oh, it's not aesthetically pleasing. It's football. What are we talking about? Mm-hmm. This isn't a ballet or a dance or anything like that. And so it's not like, you know, the Eagles are using some sort of competitive advantage. This is something every single NFL team can do. And I think the problem, if teams were able to run it and be successful, their fans would like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's why Eagles fans love it, because they're so good at it. If Dallas was able to do it with Dak Prescott, there wouldn't be all this up in arms. And who's up in arms about it anyway? Is it the coaches? Is it the executives? Is it the media? Is it the fan base? I don't get why we're all of a sudden trying to outlaw this play.
I do think, as you said, aesthetically pleasing. I think, reading between the lines, that the commissioner on some level feels like, well, that's not a good look for us. Yeah, okay. Officially, he has no comment. But I think there's a sense that this is not a good look for the league. This isn't, you know, especially when the NFL is trying to make the game safer. I don't know, but the bottom line is, if at least 9 owners say, yes, keep it around, it'll still be around. But otherwise, bye-bye to the brotherly shove. It's really, and your team's great at it, I know, and they've picked up some big yardage in big situations, but it really hasn't been that impactful, right?
No,
it's not like they have their record because of that
play.
Right,
right, exactly. And, you know, sure, it changes things. You know, everybody talks about, well, you know, really it's you got 4 downs or 3 downs to get 9 yards, and then you got, you know, it I think is a game changer in close games, in tight games.
Yeah,
it makes
sure
you rethink. Yeah, yeah.
Because basically it's 1st and 9.
First and 9, exactly. It makes you think, should I go for it or not? You know, but that's with every play. You know, we talk about aesthetically pleasing. The quarterback sneak's not aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
But we do that. We're okay with that. So I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. So good luck to you. But it looks like the powers
it's
that
about
be may
to
be
come
aligned.
Up to an end here.
Yeah.
We better win the Super Bowl this year, Eagles. I'm telling you, man.
I'd like to see someone stop it, figure out how to stop it. But honestly, I don't know how you're going to do that unless you have a special, you know, package, special 3 down lineman.
Right.
That,
well, the Niners tried to, you know. Who was it that jumped over? Greenlaw?
Fred Warner, I think.
Jumped over. I will say, like I said the other day, you know, when Marcus Mariota tried to run it, it wasn't, you know, I think he got the first, but by like a hair, thanks to a good spot, you know. I think Jalen Hurts has mastered it. And I don't know what skill is needed. Like, is it the quarterback? And the way he tucks in, is it the push? Is it
the offensive lineman?
Like, how are you so good at that?
Jason
and why
Kelsey
aren't,
says it's hell under there trying to make that work. He says
that is
not easy.
But I don't understand why other teams aren't as successful with it, though, because it doesn't look too complicated on the surface.
I'll bet you on some level it's we can do better than that. We can figure out something better than that.
Yeah. We can scheme something.
We can get somebody hurt.
Right. We can you know, do play action or run pass option or, you know, and the Eagles, meanwhile, they're saying, you know what? We're not going to get creative or, you know, try to gimmick you. We're just going to do this, push you ahead.
So. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, because I certainly have, I'm not putting you on the spot. We've all been in these situations, been in a situation where you felt the need, especially like to maybe your wife or a boss, where you felt like, oh, I'm going to have to apologize for that.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't apologize for much. Why?
Okay. But if you did, can you imagine? Can you imagine, Let's just say you did something, said something to your wife, whatever, and you're like, I should apologize. Can you imagine how it would go over if you had someone else do it for you? Probably wouldn't go over.
Good. Yeah. That's kind of weak. Yeah.
Dre Greenlaw and Dom DeSandro.
My guy Dom.
Yeah. 49ers linebacker and the Eagles head of security. They apologized to each other through intermediaries.
There you go.
So they had other people. You go apologize to him? Yeah. And then, and this guy's apologizing for you. They apologized through intermediaries for their respective roles in the sideline incident.
That's kind of, what is this? Yeah. They didn't send carrier pigeons or mail each other a letter or
just
a card?
Say, Dre Greenlaw could say, I don't want to apologize to that. Okay, I got it. He's so sorry.
Right? Or if you go to apologize, just be like, hey, what's Dre's number? Let me text him. Sorry, Dre. Intermediaries?
Yes. Dre Greenlaw said, he seemed like a genuine guy. He seemed like a guy everyone loved in the building. So I hate that it even escalated and went to that. End quote. Again, keep in mind, the guy did not actually apologize to him. He apologized through someone else.
Did they have to have a meeting or something? Or, did they go to somebody's office, sit down? Or was it, after the game in the, hallway somewhere?
It's not clear. It's a great question. Right. It's not clear.
Roger Goodell arrange a phone call or something? It's kind of weird.
He probably could talk to both of them. Then, hey, this guy says he's so sorry. Oh, he's so sorry. Did you see that your guy, Dom DeSandro, he apparently after the game, he was smart. He went to John Lynch and said, I'm really sorry. Yeah. So it sounds to me like everybody involved realizes this was a big thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
We're done with it afterwards.
Let's just do whatever we have to do to move on. So yeah, they apologize. Everybody's cool. We move on.
Yeah. And that's what adults do, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that game was so emotionally charged. Guys got out of character, maybe talking about Dom. We talked about it. He was in the wrong, no doubt about that. And, he's being the bigger man, him and Dre. And, that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, though, let me ask you this. I'm going to sneak this in here.
Yeah.
When they face each other again in an NFC championship game, do you think it will be as emotionally charged or as
it'll be things, more?
You think so?
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Maybe these guys, I don't know, DeSandro, maybe you have to remove himself. I don't know. But as far as the game, there'll be even more at stake. It'll be more intense.
Yeah, more fired up. But I don't know, and this may come off as being homerish.
That's fine.
I apologize.
We understand that.
But the
Niners.
You should
have someone apologize for you, but okay.
I know. But the Niners were so geeked up in this game, before this game. We're so fired up. I don't know if the Eagles are going to come in with that sort of bravado, that sort of machoism. I don't know if that's their style. And so that's why I think it may not be as much trash talk and as much extracurricular stuff.
You're going to disagree with this, I'd bet.
Right.
But I remember the 49ers, when they're playing well, they remind me of Bill Walsh's old 49ers in that they were great on the road, and Bill Walsh was great at getting the team. It was a great team anyway, but hey, it's us against the world. These 49ers really seem to rally around that this week in Philly. If they have to play at home against the Eagles, there won't be that same sense of, all right, guys, it's us
we're
against
going
the world.
Into yeah. No, you might be right, which is fine with me. I would love that. I want them to come in a little soft, a little squishy, a little fat
Could
and happy.
Could you seem a little, hey, we're home. We got these guys now.
Yes, exactly. I think, along those lines, it'll be interesting what happens Sunday. Do they come with that same edge, that same intensity? You already whooped up on the Seahawks. You're coming off a huge win against Philly. Can you get up again? And you're at home, to your point. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens Sunday against Seattle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They are a little banged up. I saw before I came in, Emil in the parking lot, and he says, Armstead didn't practice today. Mm. He's probably not playing, and Burford's hurt. And
Armstead probably shouldn't have played this last week, but because of the magnitude of the game, he gutted it out.
Right.
He played, yeah.
Right. Isn't that the definition of a trap game, a game before or right after a really huge game?
And 100%. And that's why if I'm Seattle, this is your time. You've mm-hmm. been reeling right now, but this is, San Francisco's fat, happy. They're feeling good about themselves. It's sort of like what we saw with the Kings against the Warriors. You expend so much energy.
Yeah.
You put so much into that game that you got to play the next night. Well, this time you got to play the next week.
When we come right back, why the Kings' next foe may be a little riled up Friday night. That's coming up with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.